Once again, we back in the garden, a studio brought to you from Change the Vision. I am Church Hudson, and this is Peace Study. The P is for principle, and the studies is pretty much self-explanatory. Today, I want to share a little about the platform, as I always do. And I want to get into a deeper understanding so that we can go higher. This is a platform about studying principles and being the principle of absolute divine action. By speaking these things into existence and carrying out these tasks through our own deeds. That is the three-step rule. Think, speak, do. Studying what to think, speak, and do will hold a conviction of faith and hope in following through with action. And this is what will carry you. I mean, in my studies, it's carried every successful person from trial to glory. I found every principle of success up to this point by studying our heavenly hosts and the creations that the grand creator were able to produce for all of us to observe. I study my actions and inactions and judge the results to keep a careful record of what is lifting me up and tripping me up. This is season one of Peace Study, a season dedicated to studying oneself to better manage oneself. For if we can manage ourselves well, we can manage relationships well and our businesses well. I pray you take some of your own time, or rather, you take a little bit of your efforts to look at self-mastery and observe how Yeshua, popularly known as Jesus, was able to master the flesh to be one with God, to be one with the God within himself. Which brings me to a good point of discussion for the accuracy of this podcast. If you ever had to tell anyone about this platform, right? Let them know that it is all about holistic management. And when I say holistic, I mean every aspect of management, not just a small portion of it. This is critical to our development as beings. By auditing ourselves, like the IRS audits our taxes. By auditing ourselves, we are able to understand how to manage everything that come along with our everyday life. So let's take a look at my approach to it, and then we can establish why this is the strategy of managing oneself to mastery. Every day, I have a planned list of events to undertake, and I personally audit my actions and inactions according to law and order. Because nothing from God can exist but by principle and the order that flows from the principle. More times than less, I discover that the principles and order I practice may need some fine tuning from time to time. In order for me to operate to the capacity that I am able to operate, I have to take a close look at this. So for example, before I started giving money, or more money away rather, I thought I was following principles of financial management by saving, being frugal, being tight on the dollar. But the fine tuning I needed was in the power of giving. And when I say giving, I mean giving a good portion away while I also saved. Now, my updated way of thinking at this point wants me to give back so much that I prioritize attracting the kind of business that would put me in a position to give more, rather than trying to just chase money and grab a hold onto it and just hold my hand. It's a different way of looking at things. I think about the prospects of giving more. Speaking of giving, my media company was hired to capture photography for the Lymphomic and Leukemia Society's Visionary Gala. And if you never heard of the Lymphomic and Leukemia Society, also known as LLS, it is a nonprofit organization that gives millions of dollars to cancer treatments to families that cannot afford cancer treatment costs. I took hundreds of pictures at this event, and the people really enjoyed the time, and so did I. They were buying prizes for thousands of dollars in both silent auctions and, you know, the traditional auctions with the good old host chanting something like, 1,000, can I get one? Can I get one? Can I get 1,100? Can I get 1,100? Someone else raised their hand. Oh, I got a 1,200? Do I got a 1,200? Can I get a 1,200? Can I get a 1,200? And it just go on and on and on until somebody, nobody can raise their hand with whoever bid had the highest bid of the night. So I watched this last night while I took pictures and while I watched people celebrate giving away thousands of dollars, not only in auctions, but just in sheer giving with nothing expected to be received in return. So for the year up to that point, just to give you a little context to the event, for the year up to this point and the earnings collected in the ballroom last night, a grand total of more than $500,000 to support cancer treatment for patients was raised. Which brings everything in terms of what I said about giving into full circle. See, in that room, there were business owners of every kind, professionals and industries that afforded them a good amount of income. And a lot of these families, a lot of these people were with their family who were, it was like older married couples that was like baby boomers. And then you had a generation under them that were situated in industries like their parents or in something that's not too far off from what their parents was doing. But the bottom line was they were getting money, their parents was getting money, families was there, most people in there were married, and majority of the people who were in attendance, they either owned their own business or they had high grossing positions in real estate firms, law firms, or dentistries, or insurance firms. So I'm in a room full of wealth, and I felt right at home. I'm not gonna lie, I felt right at home. I mean, I was chosen to be the event's official photographer, and God let it be known to me that this is the nature of business opportunity that I need to go ahead and start getting used to. But this just didn't happen out of thin air, right? This business opportunity came in a very peculiar way, right? But the beginning of it started with me giving. It started with me giving and giving away what I thought I didn't have. So let's turn the page to the lesson that I received from being a better manager and receiving this business and just being someone who was focused on giving. So I would like to say first and foremost that I don't believe that I would have received the opportunity if I didn't learn how necessary it is to say no. Okay? And the reason why I say this is it rests in this story I'm about to tell you, okay? Okay, so I was able to get more money as a result of my giving, but I was also approached with business from other clients as well before I got this bid to do this gala. And the people who I received these calls from was people who, you know, I care for. Friends and associates, you know, they wasn't somebody that I talked to on a regular basis. They were somebody who came in contact with me at some point in my life from teenage years up to this point, and we just have a mutual respect type of thing. So I wanted to see their work flourish, and I knew that my photography, videography, and digital marketing skills could help them bring in more traffic so that they can have more opportunities to grow and to give and to be and live in abundance, right? But when I offered the first, I had two examples, okay? And they came in very, like I said, this opportunity is very peculiar in its nature, right? So before I got the opportunity, I got a call from one of my good friends that wanted to, he actually booked a time to meet with me on my calendar service on my website. We booked a time to go over some things, and I consulted him on some different ideas and let him know that I could provide a month's worth of content for his business so that he can post across all his platforms. And the price that I quoted him for was just a steal. I told somebody else about the quote. They said it was a crackhead price, right? But I was just trying to look out for the homie, right? And I thought he would really be very appreciative of the price, but I received the quite the opposite, right? So when I gave him the quote, he was like, bro, you don't think you can come down on that a little bit? And trying to find out ways of how he can take a fraction of the price off by asking for half of the work. You know how people do when they negotiating, right? They try to play math ball with you. So we have this back and forth for some days, and he finally kind of, you know, he came to a reasonable conclusion on the price, but he was still bitter about it. He was like, you know, I thought you would have looked out for your boy and this, that, and the third. And instantly, at some point, I was like, okay, I need to consult God about it. And when I consulted God, he let me know that what I was trying to sacrifice for him financially was only going to sacrifice me at my own expense, right? So God also let me know that what I was sacrificing and giving to him was not to make myself a living sacrifice to someone else at my own expense. That's not how it works. You bless me, you give me back and give your first fruit to me, thus said the Lord, and I will take care of you. You chase the kingdom, and I will add all things unto you. So I had to break the news to my brother, like, bro, I won't be able to serve you after consulting with the Most High. I'm just not in a position to serve you at that rate. I don't have the bandwidth to provide my services at that type of cost. It'll cost me a lot more than what I can handle. So, boom. Right after I did this, this is when I get a call, maybe like a day or two after I broke the news, I get a call with an opportunity that, now check this, the opportunity I received after this situation was like was paying me about four times more, but I only had to work for one night. So I'm like, okay, I see what you're saying, Lord, right? I see what's going on, okay? Because see, the old me, when I was in business, I always was trying to look out for the homie. I always was doing the homie hookup, right? And I always expected for the homies to look out for me. Well, you see, I'm saving you on the back end, so take care of me on the back end. If I'm being your go-to guy for all this content, invest in my equipment, invest in my camera, this, that, and the third, I'll be your go-to guy. You can get exclusive rights. And I had all these different ideas that in my head it made sense. But this was before I did my own audit of myself and the principles of great people who were doing work like me and great people in scripture and so on, to see that my principles was out of order. So therefore, I was out of order, right? And my orders wasn't getting me the type of order that I wanted my life to actually flow in. So I'm like, wow. I'm amazed at the timeline of it, right? Now, there's another situation that arised from what I'm explaining, right? I get another call from another associate, somebody who we had a mutual respect. We're not like buddy friends or whatever like that, but I respect this person and we go way back. You know, you see somebody in the grocery store, hey, you know, them type of people that you're not just gonna walk past and not speak. It'll be disrespectful, but you ain't talking to them all the time. You know what I mean? So I get a call from this associate or whatnot, and I offered them a quote like in January or whatever, and it was another homie hookup price. It was another homie hookup price, and I sent back. I renegotiated the numbers, and I explained why in detail in the presentation, and it was nice, very nice. I didn't get any response to it, but the weight of that experience really gives me more evidence to what happened with my homeboy, right? And that is, whatever you say yes to, gotta say no to. Whatever you say no to, gotta say yes to. So what is he saying yes to and what is he saying no to? You may wonder, right? All right. Now, just for context, my associate was... The quote that I gave my associate was a little more than what I quoted my homeboy, right? And my associate had no problem paying it. No problem. My homeboy gave me resistance, which really bought me time to really go sit in the huddle meeting with God so God can show me that, brother, your quote is off. You're not moving at the capacity in which you carry. You're not moving at the capacity of the strength that you carry, of the value that you carry. You all out of order, my brother, right? This associate was willing to pay that price. So now I got two experiences. One where I went from about to do some work way undervalued for the value that this person was receiving to getting an opportunity worth 3-4 times more. Then on the back end, getting an opportunity with no resistance that's a little more than what my homeboy offers, all in 1-2-3 step, whole, all in one walk, right? And I'm thinking to myself, wow, the old me would have said yes to both of those opportunities. So enough of that. I want to go back to what I said about God saying yes, right? So what is it that God is saying no to when I say yes? And what is he saying yes to when I say no? Okay. It's distraction. It's called distractions and opportunities. Okay. I just want you to think about this for right quick. Distractions and opportunities, right? When you say no to distractions, God will say yes to opportunities. But whenever you say yes to distractions, God will say no to opportunities. For if you are distracted, how are you going to be able to see or receive an opportunity? Lord have mercy. I'm going to say it one more time. If you are distracted, how are you going to observe or even notice the opportunities that God has? Right? So, you say yes to that lowball cheap client, God saying, well, I guess you don't want a client that'll pay you for what you're worth then. Well, I'm going to let you just deal with that kind of client, right? And this all play a major part in being a good manager. You have to manage your attention and you have to manage your energy, okay? And this is no slight to my folks, right? I love them, but this is it's nothing personal. It really isn't. And the relationship I have with my inner circle and my associates, I would like to continue to build in God and in love. And they're going to be able to experience this same thing because they're both in business just like I am, right? So, boom. This all play a major role in being a good manager. And I think one of the misconceptions about management is time management. We can't manage time. We can't manage time. It is impossible to manage time. You can only manage what you do within the time frame, right? You can only manage what you have some degree of control over. If my hair is too long, I can manage it by cutting it down. If my pants waist is too wide, I can have a seamstress alter it for my fitting. But with time, if it's 12 p.m., I cannot rewind the time to 11 a.m. because I need more time on a project. So it is me that I ultimately manage within these time limits. And to be more specific, it is my attention and energy that I manage within the time. To think about it, right? Time's only relevance to our ability to achieve is in the amount of energy we have while we are making contributions to our goals. Let's think about it now. If I did not ever have to sleep, if I never had to sleep because I had infinite energy, how relevant would that 24-hour clock be? If I just never had to sleep, I just got infinity energy. It wouldn't be relevant. Because I would not have to sleep and I would always be able to do whatever, however, whenever. So let's go back to attention and energy. A wise man told me, don't pay any attention to things that you do not desire. Right? That had to grow on me, but in its essence, it is more important to give attention to desirable experiences than trying to hammer away at this concept of time. Instead, we are called to chip away at ourselves so we could sculpt a masterpiece. Some people will incorrectly take what I'm saying to mean that, oh, if I want to vacate and watch movies, you know, that's all I'm paying to pay attention to. You know, and that's what I'm gonna do. So that is all I will pay attention to. Attention now. It's a big part of the battle, but the doing part is what bring it all together. So we do work all the time so we can vacate and enjoy leisure time. But what we fail to do is to work on managing ourselves to afford that type of reality at our own will, at minimal to no cost at all, right? Being able to manage ourselves and knowing what it takes, what it would require of us to be able to afford that reality. Me giving my attention to wealth means nothing if I don't speak wealth, nor do I do what wealth building requires. As Shakespeare once wrote, to be or not to be, we are human beings. To a large extent, we are being whatever we give our attention to. We are being what flows from our mouths. We are being when we do, indeed, think, speak, do. The Holy Scriptures quotes, as a man thinks, so is he. Right? The Holy Scripture also quotes that life or death flow from the tongue. And it also quotes that we have to be diligent because mere talk only leads to poverty. Right? When I think about it, I have to come to the conclusion that I give little to no attention to leisure and vacations. I give my attention to the actions that would afford these experiences to me whenever I want with minimal to no cost at all. When I think about it, attention does it have a bit of a two-part division to it. It is what you allow your senses to spend time with, but it is also the environment of people or spaces you put yourself around. I'm not going to no hole in the wall club. Most of the crowd live below the poverty line and don't manage anything well but a black and mild and an arbor miss. I won't spend too much time on being around people who are in undesirable situations or environments that are undesirable for me. But I will close with some game. Okay? I will close with some game. And this game, it comes from my granddad. All right? I went to go visit him. He gave me some game. All right? So, I went to the crib. I went to my grandparents' crib. And I was boiling. I started boiling some eggs. You know how us kids do. You know how we all, no matter how grown we get, you know, you go in your folks' crib, they refrigerator, your refrigerator, right? So I go in there, and I'm boiling eggs. But I'm boiling, I got a smaller pot on a bigger eye. I'm not tripping. I just wanted it to be on the bigger eye because I know that bigger eye make things boil so fast. You feel me? I want to go ahead and get it out the way. This is my logic, right? My granddaddy pulled me to, my granddaddy was like, look here for a minute. So I looked over to my granddad or whatever. And my granddaddy was like, son, I need you to understand. Have you ever heard of Sigma Six? I'm like, Sigma Six? Nah. Granddaddy, I don't think I said, that's like, oh, I think that's the project management certification that you get when you want to go on, you know, do management for certain companies or whatever. And he was like, yeah, he was like, right now I'm going to teach you about waste management. I'm like, okay, where he going with this? He said, when you put this pot on his eye, the heat that comes from the pot, the heat that comes from where the pot isn't, because it's too small for the eye, it goes up into the house in the air, and it makes the air conditioner works harder to maintain the heat that the thermostat is on, right? I'm like, dang, he went deep on me real quick, but he was making it made sense at the same time, because it was heat coming from the stove. And he said, he was telling me that is you're wasting the energy where you can just put this small pot on the smaller stove. And he was telling me that this is waste management. This is a key in corporate America, and this is what is taught to all successful companies. And I instantly thought about what I was going to talk about in the podcast. I'm like, wow, this must be really confirmation he on this management tip. And I also got a call from the feds. One of my partners called me from the feds. He almost done with his bid or whatever, and he started talking to me about management too, about what he do with his time while he locked up. I'm like, wow, okay. So let me piggyback to what granddaddy's saying though about Six Sigma. I went and looked up Six Sigma, and I researched the process steps, and they have five different points of processing that they undergo when they want to get the most out of any given project, right? And I'll just list a few. The first one is to define. They define what they want. They define the goal. And they define the budget, the driving motivation. They define how much time it would take, a project timeline, etc. Right? And so that reminds me of whenever we are mastering oneself, we always have some goals in mind or whatever like that. But you have to study what it would take to get there. This is what this is saying. It's not good enough to have a goal. It's only worthy enough for you to understand, to study, to show yourself approved, to know what it would really require. Second thing was measure. That in the measuring phase, companies measure the process that the company is in, the activity. What are they doing now. And when I think about it in terms of myself, when I was auditing myself, I did study my actions and inactions. What did I do on a day-to-day basis? What was my process? And during when I figured out what my process was, this is when I had to go into the third step of Six Sigma that I'm reading, which is analyze. And in Six Sigma, they go into the root causes for all results. They do all types of charts and they find all of the issues that they can to improve it for the next step and to control the variances of what they improve on the next step. And what ends up happening is they end up producing more, increasing more thought put, increasing quality, reducing incidents and damage, reducing waste, reducing the operational costs, and they're just way more efficient with this approach. And this is the approach that I'm going to, you know, lean a little more into and understanding how to be a better manager of self, to be a better manager of my relationship, to be a better manager of the business that I run. In a nutshell, or in close, it's very important to understand that order and law are the cause and effect of one another. When there is law, law produces order. And God will not give you what you will pray for. He will only give you what you can manage. In Genesis, God did not allow a single plant to grow until he had someone there to manage it. Once he placed Adam in the garden, then he allowed produce to go forth so that a producer could manage it. Church. Ism. You see, 86% of all millionaires are married. And it is really God's call to us all for us to get a skill and master that skill. For if you are skillful in your craft, you will stand before kings and queens, not before mean and obscure men. But be wary for what the king holds, his diamonds, his gold, designer things, and the thing that everybody wants. For if you are one who are given to appetite, you might as well hold a knife to your own throat. We have to be the promoters of the full welfare of our brother and sister, and a fireplace for them in a cold, cold world. In Hebrew, that is the definition of brother and sisterhood. It is also important for us to continue to study oneself. Look at what the results produce for us on a holistic level, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, to understand that all these things that we may try to put a blame on, it only points back to what is within ourselves. To not be of the world, but in the world. To not conform to the world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. This is the law. This is love. This is God. May all of these things be with you in love, peace, and hope. I'm in prayer with you, and I am in solidarity with you with your developmental process. And it is in my hope and my wish that you observe the life of Yeshua, popularly known as Jesus, to walk in the path that will only, and that can only and will only, set you free. Free to who you really are in Christ. Church. Ism.